Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So Brad, last week when we were talking about hotels in Pop Century and theming, while I was editing the episode, I had an idea. And it's in thinking about, you know, retheming hotels and what Disney could do if they really want to bring more characters into these resorts, I still think the Contemporary should obviously be the Monorail Resort, and every floor should be themed to a different Delta and have a color scheme and have those Deltas everywhere. I think that's a slam dunk idea that needs to happen. But what if Pop Century, instead of being themed to a decade, was themed to a movie from that century? That way you get characters into the resort, and you keep the Pop Century name, so you don't have to go through and rebrand the entire thing. But instead of having like tchotchkes and knickknacks from all these different decades, you just pick a Disney movie to theme the building to, and or even all the characters from all the movies of that decade. And that would give you, you know, especially from the 90s on, just a ton of options. Because after the 90s...
So that covers three buildings, right?
Well, I mean...
Or four buildings now.
50s, 60s, 70s. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying you said from the 90s on, that gives you a lot of...
Oh, yeah. Well, the 90s explodes, because then you have Pixar, and you have all the Toy Story characters and The Incredibles. You know, that was kind of what brought that on, is like, What if instead of theming the Contemporary, one of the buildings at Pop was Incredibles? And what if one of the buildings was Toy Story? And you know, you could, I guess, make that, instead of decades, you could make that the Pixar Hotel and have each of the buildings themed to a different Pixar movie. There's certainly enough Pixar movies to get you there. But just to... So you're not... I guess that just feels a little less shoehorned than Contemporary and Incredibles. To actually take that idea, take that existing hotel with this existing layout and turn it into something that makes more sense. Because that hotel, other than what the applied theme and the applied gimmick is to it, does not itself have a gimmick the way that Contemporary does with the monorail. Like, that the monorail in the Contemporary is something that's built into the building, and even if you took all of the theming out and just made it a building, it would still have two big holes that trains go through.
Okay, but before we go any further, I just want you to confirm to me that this section is not going to suddenly disappear from the podcast. Can we agree to that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let me introduce you to this thing called Hourglass Lake, right? It's this thing that's right next to Pop Century.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
An art of animation is basically what I just described.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You just described the art of animation. Like, you literally said, hey, what if it was just themed around each film or whatever? That is, so essentially all you're saying is, what if Pop Century was Art of Animation?
Well, what if those two hotels were, so instead of having Pop and then giving up on what is now Art of Animation, which I don't remember what it was going to be, but it was going to be the other decades.
Yeah, it was going to be the earlier decades,
right,
if I recall correctly.
Yes. And instead of giving up on that and making Art of Animation, so you have two totally disparate hotels, change Pop to match Art of Animation. Because clearly, Art of Animation is themed in a way that Disney wants to, is going, you know, in
right,
a way that Disney wants to go. So just change Pop to match that.
I mean,
make Art of Animation the Disney Animation Studios one, and make Pixar, or make Pop Century the Pixar Animation Studios one.
Well,
boom.
So they'd have to retheme both of them to do that, because Art of Animation already has like the Cars building and the Finding Nemo building and all that stuff. And also has like Lion King. So they've already mixed it over there. So in order to do Pixar and, but what they could do is they could say, I don't know, current and past, like you'd have to go much older, but there are plenty of classic Disney films. You know, you start doing like Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and
Song of the South.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's definitely, the Jungle Book, Winnie the Pooh, like there's a lot of stuff in there that you could do that comes before. Cause I think what Little Mermaid is probably the earliest one in that. And that's the '90s, right?
Yeah.
So there would be enough films to fill out an earlier section, in the pop century. So I don't inherently have an issue with that. I don't know what the point of that is, right? And I guess
the point of it is, in an ideal world where the Walt Disney Company feels confident enough to let a resort like the Contemporary Resort rest on its laurels, like be content in the fact that it's a resort with the monorails running through it, and to let it be that instead of shoehorning characters into a hotel that doesn't need it or make sense with it, instead of taking like Pop Century and a resort that can handle that theming, obviously because Art of Animation does it already. The point is just to make the theming of these resorts make more sense. If and living in a world where if Disney is going to put characters everywhere, like if and I'm not saying I want that. I'm saying like if we're just living under the conceit that characters are going to be everywhere. They're gonna put characters in all the hotels. Let's be smart about where we put them so that resorts that don't need that don't have it shoehorned into them, because then you end up with something like the Contemporary that looks bad. It just doesn't look as elegant as, you know, something like the Polynesian that you wouldn't want, and I don't think Disney would do it with Grand Floridian, but you wouldn't want the Grand Floridian to all of a sudden be rethemed to Emperor's New Groove. You know, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit there. And I think that makes just as much sense as Contemporary, or as Incredibles does at the Contemporary. So that's what the point is. The point is, ideally, to let these hotels exist in the best way they can.
Okay, so I'm going to go quick hit on these. First of all, Grand Floridian will be rethemed. It's going to be rethemed to Mary Poppins. So that's done. That's a thing. Not that anybody said that, but just take it. That's what's going to happen to Grand Floridian. When I say I don't see why that's necessary, I say that because they don't have any issue filling up Pop Century. But in the same way, I didn't really see the Contemporary retheme is necessary because they weren't having any trouble selling rooms, and that like the Contemporary is regularly sold out. And if you're regularly selling all the rooms, it doesn't need anything else to carry it. It doesn't need anything else to sell it. Right. And if that's the case, then you don't have a need to put you don't have a need to put characters in it, whether shoehorned or otherwise. But if they're going to put characters everywhere, they're going to put some characters in the Contemporary. And honestly, I still feel like the Incredibles could be a good fit for the Contemporary if, you know, as we discussed, if it had been handled slightly differently. Or I guess the other option here is that you just retheme the entire hotel. You do away with the Contemporary name. You do away with everything. You start from scratch and then you create an Incredibles hotel. But I don't know that you create a deluxe hotel that has that theme. Like, I just still there's just still too much of a disconnect for me to say a deluxe hotel has some of the decisions that they made for that. And you know, I've sat on this for a week and I still just cannot make that work in my head to say this is a deluxe resort, this is a, you know, supposedly better experience than what you get at the quote unquote lesser resorts. So yeah, I'm still not sold on that. And again, I still don't see any reason for Pop Century to be redone. If it's going to be redone, sure, that's fine. Just essentially make it Art of Animation 1 and Art of Animation 2 and pick a couple of films to put in there. That's all fine and good. Whatever. But I just don't see the need for it because you're not having trouble selling the rooms as is. What does that buy you?
I do not disagree with that, but I also agree with you saying the Contemporary was not having any trouble, and neither was the Polynesian, and neither is the Grand Floridian. You know, none of those deluxe resorts, as crazy expensive as they are not having troubles selling out the rooms.
Yeah, and again, I have seen nothing to indicate, but when I think about Grand Floridian and I think about what Disney property would I attach to it, to me, it's a no-brainer that it's Mary Poppins.
Yeah, I think visually that makes sense. I think story-wise, it doesn't because it's supposed to be.
Yeah, because it's the Grand Floridian versus a place in England.
Oh, well, it's supposed to be American Victorian, not English Victorian. Yeah, so it would not make sense from a story perspective, but obviously that's not a problem.
Yeah, the inside, you could easily sell that story.
It's just I was thinking about ideally what could they do, because I've sat on that Contemporary thing for a week, it's more and more sunk in how unsuccessful I think that retheme was, and I really wish that they would give as much care to the resorts and really think a lot about what would be best for them theming wise.
Ideally, what could they do? They could build a new Incredibles resort. They could, you know, and start from scratch of saying this is an Incredibles resort.
But that's what I'm saying is I guess ideally is wrong, because yes, ideally every property would get its own bespoke construction project. But I think working within the bounds of what they have, I was just thinking about what could be done or what could have been done better.
That's fair. I'm not gonna get behind this Contemporary thing yet. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll be lucky enough to stay there and I'll see it in person and be like, this all makes sense, but it just doesn't to me for now. So.
Well, from what I've heard, they're booking most of the value resorts at like 110%. And if you just happen to be one of the people that tries to check in when there's no rooms available, they've been upgrading people to like Grand Floridian.
So okay, sweet. I'm gonna go ahead and book a resort and do a really late check in.
Yeah, if you do pop, you might get lucky and get bumped to Grand Flow or something. Not the Contemporary right now because it's closed, but yeah, you might get bumped.
I'm checking in at midnight. It's a really weird thing, but it's just how I roll now. Hey, Jeremy, can you quickly open up, go ahead and pull your phone out and open up the Disney World app.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then go to the My Plan section.
Okay.
And scroll into like September-ish.
Okay. To September?
Yeah.
I don't have anything past February.
I guess I didn't share my... This is all my way of telling you that I'm going back to Disney in September.
This September?
This September.
Oh, my gosh. What are you going to do?
Go to Disney?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Why are you all of a sudden going to Disney in September and then in March?
Okay, so September somewhat because my year resets and I have 2 weeks of vacation to burn.
Nice.
So
that's as good a reason as any.
There is definitely that playing into it. But more importantly is that my daughter's third birthday happens in September. And there's this fun thing at Disney where once your kid is three, it cost a ludicrous amount of money to take them to Walt Disney World. Like, a 5-day pass for a 3-year-old is $463, I think, after, maybe that's after tax, I forget. But then, like, for an adult, it's $483. So they give me $20 off for the fact that my daughter is 3 years old. A whole whopping $20 off 5 days. So essentially, we were like, well, we've got this. We need to take this vacation time. What are we going to do with it? And I was like, wait, we could just go to Disney and not have to pay for either of the kids to go to Disney. So let's go to Disney. So, yeah, we're going to Disney for we're actually staying for 7 days, but we're only going to go. We're talking about only going to the parks for 5 days. We're going to try to, you know, build in some rest days into this whole thing, because a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, not great for having to, you know, do things all day, every day.
Yeah, not much of a go-go-goer, I'm thinking.
No, which is totally against everything that I believe about a Disney visit. But we are also taking our podcast advice, and we are not staying on property.
Ooh, where are you staying?
We are staying at the Summer Bay Orlando, ooh, which is just a little bit outside of the west side of the parks. Essentially, it's pretty close to Animal Kingdom, but, you know, significantly further away from there. And I mean, like, we're talking 10-15 minutes away from Animal Kingdom.
Right. As the crow flies, how many miles is it? Do you know?
It's like within 5 miles.
Wow. Oh.
So it's really close.
Yeah.
But the difference here was that I was able to book a 7-day stay in a 2-bedroom condo for $400, which would be the equivalent of like one night at a, you know, single room at, you know, the Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Wait, say that again? You were able to book what?
7 nights in a 2-bedroom condo.
Uh-huh.
So it has like a sitting room and 2 bedrooms and a full kitchen for $400.
When do you have to go to the timeshare presentation?
No timeshare. They do this. Okay, so this is a timeshare place. And you, like, essentially from reading the reviews, I will get hit with a, hey, do you want to come to our timeshare? We'll give you like a free breakfast and a $100 gift card, or, you know, whatever their current deal is when I'm checking in. And they might call me at once or twice during my stay, hey, saying that exact same thing. But no visit is required as part of my stay.
That's crazy, man. 400 bucks.
Yeah, 400 bucks for a week.
Wow.
7-night stay at this place with 2 bedrooms, which, as you know, as a parent with small children, is amazing. Mm-hmm. If you can put the kids in their own room and close the door when you get them to sleep and everything, so much better than having both kids in the same bedroom and you get one to sleep and the other one's still blah, 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 or playing their iPad or whatever. And then they wake the other one up and it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So, yeah, 100%. This is going to be worth it. So, yeah, that is how we were able to make this decision, is getting a really good deal on a place to stay and not having to pay for, you know, all of our children. And I also found out a bonus tip for staying at Walt Disney World. And this is literally on Disney's site. So this isn't like one of those sketchy tips that may or may not work. If your child is 2 years old when they start their trip, which could be the start of their your tickets, if they turn 3 while you're there, they are a guest of Mickey's for the rest of their trip.
What does that mean?
So that means that our daughter's birthday will be at Walt Disney World, and the day after she will also be at Walt Disney World, but we won't have to pay for a 1-day ticket for her to go that last day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so essentially they're still going to treat her as though she was 2 years old for the entirety of the trip.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay.
Which is great, because I was trying to figure out. I'm like, okay, so how do we end this trip where the last day is her birthday? And I am totally going up to the gate going, look, she was born at 10 a.m. local time, you know, or whatever it was. I'm sure my wife could tell you the exact time, but I definitely remember it was not before the gates opened at Disney World. And when we walked through the gate, she would still be 2 years old. That was basically what I was going on. So, oh man, yes, we have a trip planned, and oh man, I am rusty when it comes to all of the things that are involved in, you know, making dining reservations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit rougher when you're not staying on property.
Is it?
You don't get those extra couple of days. Mm. And those extra couple of days make a difference because legitimately with our, so we're going to Magic Kingdom for her birthday. And God, so I was like,
so much fun.
So I was like, okay, I've got to be, you know, like on the ball at 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Central, when it opens, I'm going to be looking, you know, trying to score the reservations that I want to get, because I wanted to get a Chef Mickey because I want to do a character dining for her birthday. And there is no, like, Crystal Palace is not currently character dining. So that was my option. You know, that was easy from Magic Kingdom. So at 4:30 a.m. I woke up, went to my computer, started, you know, hitting refresh on my computer, had refresh on my phone. Didn't actually open up till 5 a.m. And I got a Chef Mickey, but I think it's at like 8 o'clock at night or something, some ridiculous thing like that. And that was the only thing that was left when I got on. Mm. But it's because people were booking it who had reservations at Disney. And thus they were able just looked it up, real-time follow-up, 9:05 p.m.
Ouch.
Great with young children. Great with young children to be there at 9:05. Needless to say, I will be trying to work my fast pass magic to move that sucker up as time goes on. But
do you think that travel agents have more availability? 100.
No. They don't have a lot of availability, but in doing this stuff, I have found out, so I don't know if you remember, but years ago, we talked about this one website that would do dining reservation finding for you,
mm-hmm.
and would like tell you when dining reservations came open. Mm-hmm. There are multiple websites that offer that service now.
Oh,
and
really?
A lot of them have these, you know, paid things where you can have a certain number of active searches going on, and whenever one comes up, it's going to ping you and tell you, hey, there's a, you know, a reservation just opened up. And so, and they explicitly say, you know, here's the one that has 10. So if you're a Disney vacation planner, this would be a great one for you to have, sort of thing. So I think that's a lot of it is that. And also, I mean, heck, if you're a Disney vacation planner, if you're a good Disney vacation planner, let me just go ahead and just throw that out there that way, because I'll throw down the gauntlet. If you're a good Disney vacation planner, you should be up every day every day that you have a guest who has a vacation starting,
mm-hmm.
at 5 a.m. getting their dining reservations in for them. And so no doubt I am up against a lot of those people. And again, their guests are staying on property, so they were getting more than 60 days out.
Well, and you would think they
know that.
They would have like more access anyway.
I don't think Disney would give them any earlier access. I just think that they could possibly have a more
responsive system.
Yeah, a more bare bones system for accessing it, because the app is actually pretty darn good for making reservations, but the website is not super responsive for making reservations.
It is so weird how crappy Disney's website is for doing that stuff and how good the app is. Like, wherever they're hosting the app is worlds better than wherever the website's hosted.
Well,
faster, anyway.
Okay, nerd time. I don't think it has very much to do with where it's hosted. I think it has to do with the app is written in a way that is better. The website is just not well written to be responsive. It may be well written to to do the tracking that they want to do and everything. But essentially, those should both be hitting the same APIs behind the scenes, right? Under the sheets and everything.
You don't think the app is hosted on a more modern VPS? Like the where the app hit? Do you think the app and the website are both hitting the same?
Yeah, they're both hitting the exact
data
same
source.
I would almost guarantee you they're hitting the exact same APIs. It's just how they're written to take advantage of those APIs. And I think the app has, I think the website has so much extra stuff on it.
Yeah, a lot of JavaScript and stuff that slows it down.
That it just can't keep up with the way that the app is written. And the app is written, you know, and the app is probably written in something like React Native or who knows what. I don't know. I'm not going to decompile the app. I don't feel like doing that. But I don't think it's written with as much overhead as perhaps what the website has going on for tracking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, app is a great way of doing it. Reservations are super hard to get right now, and I'm going back in September because I'm a nut job.
Bet you're still going in March too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're still going to go in March too. And, and part of this was also, so we could do it without having to pay for our daughter to go. So we weren't going to have to pay for either kid. And also, my dad passed away in March. And so when we go in March, it's going to be in remembrance of him and everything because he passed away due to COVID. I don't think we've actually talked about that on the podcast. That was part of the reason that we took such a long time off is just about the time we were going to come back. My dad... From Jeremy having his new kid, my dad was in the hospital with COVID and unfortunately passed away. So it's gonna I'm happy that we're doing that because that Disney has been a huge thing for our family.
Mm-hmm.
But it would also be our son's first trip to Disney, and I don't know that I want those two things kind of intertwined together.
That's gonna be a little more of a somber occasion.
Right. Yeah. It's gonna have a lot of stuff attached to it.
I can see that.
So his first trip will be in September and everything, and then we can do that trip in March as is. So like I said, I think there's a couple of advantages to it. So I don't know. We're gonna drive in September. I'm not certain.
Oh,
well,
no.
as of right now, we're planning. Actually, I say that Nancy and I, my wife, just had this discussion literally tonight of, okay, we need to actually sit down. We're going to calculate out the mileage, the amount of gas that it will take, the having to stay at a hotel overnight because two kids, I can totally make that drive straight through. Not going to make that drive straight through with two kids.
Well, especially when you have to stop every 2 hours for pottying and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. And, you know, food and all those sorts of things. Take those into account and then compare that with flying and having to rent a car that entire. Because if we're staying off property, I am not. Sorry, I'm just not going this place does have a shuttle that goes back and forth to Disney. I'm not depending on that shuttle. I'm planning on being able to take my vehicle to go when I want and don't want to Disney. So yeah. We're gonna do that math. But then there's with kids, you know, you've gotta take car seats, and then you gotta think about if you check the car seat and you know how the airline handles checked bags and you don't want your car seat in four pieces when you get there. There's a lot of stuff to take. But as of right now, yeah, we are planning to drive, bud. We're planning to drive with a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
I'm suddenly less jealous.
You're still a little jealous.
I'm still a lot jealous, but just a little bit less.
You're less jealous, but you're still. and I don't know. Maybe when we do the math, we'll come down on. Yeah, we need to, because quite honestly, as much as Nancy is. We need to drive because of the car seats and all that stuff. She is still the one who's like, maybe we should let's just double check the whole flying thing. Let's just think about the whole flying thing just a little bit more.
Southwest can be very affordable.
Yeah. And we got lots of points, bud. Lots and lots of points. So I don't know. But it's pretty exciting. And we're gonna take a day off when we get there, because my daughter definitely has really bad motion sickness, and putting her in a car or a plane is not great for her. Like, she feels pretty miserable for a little while. So we're going to try to give her some time to recalibrate when we get there, then do at least 2 days in the park, maybe take a rest day there in the middle, and then two more days, and then head back out is the current plan. But we're kind of leaving that rest day as a swing day, because what happens if we don't get Rise of the Resistance on that second day?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have got to have, right, dude, I am so tired of this communication blackout on Rise of the Resistance stuff. I need to be able to surf the web without fear. I need to finally finish the Imagineering story on Disney Plus. I still haven't watched the last episode of that thing, and it's sitting there mocking me. I got to finish this stuff up, so I got to go ride it.
I just want to be able to record an episode where we can talk about it, because currently the only content on our feed that includes Rise of Resistance is a very tired me talking to myself about Rise of the Resistance. It's
did
awful.
Okay, were you not able to convince your wife to come on that episode?
No, I just recorded. It was like 12:30 in the morning.
Okay, because I recall us talking about that and me saying, you need to get Claire, and the two of you need to record an episode about Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah, I just did it, and I should have. I should have waited till the next day, because who cares? But I was like, oh, I just got to do it right now. I want to talk to you about it real bad, so I'm excited. You better get on it.
Well, we are less than, as of our recording, I have made all of our dining reservations, so we are less than 60 days out from our trip to Disney, and then we can talk. Please, God, let us be able to talk all about Rise of the Resistance.
Please. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.